was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I am Johnny Smacks, lads, podcast 23, coming at you loud and proud from Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are debating who we'd like to see perform for Pope Francis when he gets here in August.
He's a fan of creamy pints, not the Pope. It's leather jacket wearing, driving it, retired senior hurler Noel Furlong, and he'll be here with the news.
Producer Maura is planning on throwing us under the bus once again with her mystery topic this week.
And with pressure mounting on the GA to open up Páirc Uí Chaoimh for the Liam Miller testimonial, we'll be discussing how GAA grounds are managed.
And as per usual with the podcast, we round it off with our yurts and dirts of the week. Yurt and dirt.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, what have you got? A fair bit of correspondence now. So, big reaction to our discussion about who are the best sports fans. I mentioned a sports team that has a bird that flies around the stadium before their games, driving the fans crazy. So Stephen Kidd kindly snapped us to say that the team is the Philadelphia Eagles. So he said, watch some of the shit they did when they won the Super Bowl.
It's a great quote.
Okay. And he also pointed out a notable omission from our list of top fans. And he's dead right. We should have mentioned the Ireland soccer fans. The crack at the Euros.
Some crack at the Euros, yeah.
Now, you kind of say they're bandwagoners, Johnny, a little bit.
Well, I mean, if you go to a friendly game up in the Aviva, yeah, it's not a full house, like.
They're not dancing on the cars, like.
Whereas there's 50,000 over in Poland on a jolly up. I don't know. They are great fans. Like, they know we're not ever going to win, so.
The Cork hurling fans. I must have got 100 snaps. Cork hurling fans are the best. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Where are we in the league, lads?
Yeah, whatever.
You just hate Cork.
Evan said the best sports fans are NFL fans, in particular the Seattle Seahawks, saying they cause earthquakes, they are so loud. And he also said we should mention the Cork hurling fans, yeah, as touched on there, Johnny. Dara said surely the Wexford fans deserve a mention, citing their high attendance rates for both league and championship, and says even when the team are beaten, the stadium remains full. Wexford fans are fair decent now, in fairness.
They are, they're queer good. So, lads, look, how many times have we told you not to listen to Noel's news while you're in the gym or you're operating heavy machinery? So John snapped us in to say, lads, I should have listened to the warning about Noel's news. I was in the gym the other day and was listening to Noel on the treadmill. First of all, what are you doing on a treadmill? I couldn't stop laughing at them and I just slipped. I now have a bruise on the side of me head and I can barely walk to the kitchen. I have the holidays on Friday and I'm going to be bollocksed. So Noel is a safety hazard and he's possibly ruined my holidays. Tell Noel he's only a bollocks. You come here and tell him yourself.
If you're brave enough.
You pup.
Mike in Manchester got in touch to say, I need these Love Island reviews, lads. Got nothing else to chat to my missus about whilst it's on and I can't be fucked watching it, so you save me a job. Loving the podcast. Keep it up. That is actually a real person writing in. That's not just me writing in under a fake alias.
I got another snap in again from Dow O'Brien. Was onto us again on Snapchat about his 18th birthday party in Nina. He's quite adamant that we go. So he said, lads, it's the 14th of December in the Palace Bar. There'll be few food and music and then up to Maxi if you want to come up.
I'm barred from Maximus.
That Maxi is short for Maximus, the nightclub in Nina.
I'm barred from there. Smell of vomit inside in there, anyway.
And who else? I got a great snap from young Dermot and his mate Tommy Toomey. They're two young lads from Tip Town. They were on holiday in Ballybunion. And they sent me this footage of them with a surfboard. It's a big giant surfboard. And they're just loading it into the car. And Dermot is telling the mother, Mammy, look what we found. It was just thrown there on the beach. Lads, you're after robbing somebody's surfboard, lads.
Tip Town, mate.
Yeah, so I've seen it. It's actually on Done Deal for €200 now. And he said Tommy Toomey gets a 50 if it sells.
Lad, they're now going to be arrested, yeah, by what you've just said there.
And the Dubliner Irish pub in Pai Pai or Phi Island, Phi, however you pronounce that, in Thailand. I got a couple of snaps in. They were playing our song, being from Tip.
On Thailand, but
yeah, and it wasn't the Billy Joel one.
Yeah, I hate people send it on. Your song is playing and it's Billy Joel. Yeah. Fucking clearly we're not Billy Joel.
And Stevie G was onto us on Snapchat. So last week Noel was talking about Whitnoom, a town in Western Australia that's been abandoned because it's covered in asbestos. And he said he's out there and there is three people living in Whitnum.
My God, that's grim enough, so.
Yeah, that is grim. They're all going to die roaring. So, thanks for that, Stevie.
Okay, the weekly roundup. What did the two Johnnies do this week? We were all over the place this week. Spent a large portion of it up in the big smoke. We can't really say what we're up there for yet, but we will in due course.
As soon as the restraining order is dropped on Johnny Smacks, we can...
we're also on with Bobby Kerr on News Talk Sunday morning, and we're on RT1 Sunday evening there with John Creedon on the old television box.
Yeah, we got to show John Creedon around our hometown of Kerr. We took him on a tour. I wanted to take him down the Abbey with a bag of cans, but the producers didn't go for it.
RT weren't cool with it.
No, we only joking. We haven't seen it because we were at the South Final yesterday evening. So we were on TV and we haven't seen it. I hope it was good.
We'd utter fish to fry. Yeah, the South Final was on. And also, this coming week, this Friday night, we're going to be presenting. Yes, we are going to be presenting a live show. It's going out on Facebook, Twitter, the whole lot. So for sports, Joe, we're going to be presenting kind of a little up for the match kind of feel show, isn't it, John, on Friday?
This Saturday and Sunday, the All-Ireland Hurling semi-finals are on. We're doing a preview show Friday night in the Mansion House in Dublin. Big production now, lads, and it will be going out live on our Facebook page around 9 o'clock, 9:30, I think.
Yeah, so keep an eye on that. And also, lads, tickets for this event are free. Just get on to Sports Joe on Facebook and you'll see the link there. You can sign up and the tickets are free.
Yeah, it's on Eventbrite. Just got to sign up, but it's free. And another ticket that is not free but is much better is us in Athlone on Friday the 3rd of August. Great start to your bank holiday weekend. Two Johnny's comedy show in Athlone.
Kick it off in style. And also tickets for our second live podcast in the Sugar Club on Wednesday the 26th of September are selling fast. The first one has already sold out, so that's Thursday night the 27th. Yep. That's sold out, lads. Gone. You will not get a ticket. So just hop on to Ticketmaster and get the last few remaining for the Wednesday night.
Yeah, we've got some other shows. Tralee on the 15th of September, and there's a whole blast of other shows. Check them out.
Keep an eye on our social media and you won't miss it, I promise. Okay, topic number one, Pope Francis, right? Lads, we had a bit of disappointment this week. We didn't get the call to perform for Pope Francis when he comes to Croke Park on August the 25th. Instead, organisers have decided to go with Daniel O'Donnell, Nathan Carter and Riverdance. With this in mind, we decided to come up with our own alternative lineup, and we'll give you our feelings on the Pope's visit.
Yeah, well, obviously Daniel O'Donnell is there. Like, that's his demographic. There's a lot of old people going, you know. Riverdance, you have to have a bit of trad for the foreigners who are going. And then Nathan Carter, because there's going to be a good few deaf people going.
I don't see, why isn't Jimmy Buckley performing that?
Fact.
Like, there's going to be a load of grannies there. Mm. And no one loves a bit of Jimmy more than the grannies, lads. Mm. You know, so you got to gauge the demographic and you got to give them what they want. So I'm saying Jimmy Buckley for the Pope, by, you know. Me and Jimmy put our differences aside. We've moved on.
Ah, Jewett, Johnny and Jimmy. Okay, so the lineup includes Dana Masters. Now, she is from South Carolina. She married a lad from up the north and they're living in Belfast. She's a good singer. She does all the kind of bluesy stuff. Then Celine Byrne is going singing. She's an opera singer. Then the Begley family are doing a bit of trad. The Holy Cross family deaf choir and Deftones are playing. So they don't sing. They do sign language and they kind of dance. And that's Deftones with an A, not to be confused with metal band Deftones from Sacramento in California. Paddy Maloney is playing. He's from the Chieftains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he played the Ilum Pipes in the Chieftains. He's going playing. I'm delighted he's there now, in fairness. He's good. The priests are going singing. Obviously, that's the three singing priests.
Yeah, but like, what about the priest that was on Britain's Got Talent?
Oh, he's actually annoyed about not getting the call up.
There you go. That's, you know, and he's good. He sang R.E.M. Everybody Hurts.
Yeah, see, and Nathan Carter is doing that song, and he's quoted by the Irish Sun newspaper saying he's very annoyed at Nathan for doing a cover of a cover song that he's already done.
Yeah, so don't mention the Irish Sun ever again on this podcast. The Sun is barred from this podcast. But in other news, yeah, so that priest isn't going to be there. I'm disappointed by that. He was actually quite good in Britain's Got Talent.
Nathan Carter is going to cover an R.E.M.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has the man no shame?
Just when you think he can't get any worse. The song I would have there is do you remember Don't Feed the Gondolas brought out a song? I think it was Brendan O'Connor was involved in it.
Who's in the house?
Jesus in the house. Yeah. That's what they should have the Pope coming into on his little segue, whatever. Who's in the house? Jesus in the house.
Ah, that's Francis in the house.
Francis in the house, maybe. Pope Francis in the house. The
2018 remix.
Yeah. Mark McCabe, get a hold of that, lad. Blow the ears off you, buddy. It's what you want.
No, I have to get some grime rapper in for a verse then. Half or two. Yeah, Pope Francis in the house, lad.
Lad, some fella from Limerick. We'll get on to that maybe. There's something in that.
Who else is playing then? Bridgie and Missy Collins are on the line. Now, I googled them and I just kept getting some blondie American one, Missy Collins. So I actually couldn't find out who Bridgie and Missy Collins were.
This is sounding more and more like a country music concert, lad.
Yeah.
Missy Collins. Rolly Daniels is up there as well, I'd say. Is he? Is he playing a couple of tunes?
T.R. Dallas is doing the Eucharist. They'll be jiving down the aisles.
Take me home, country roads.
Yeah, so then you can get the body of Christ and teens going for fiver. Moya Brennan is doing a bit. She, of course, is of Riverdance fam.
Is that what she does?
Yeah, that's what she does. She's involved in writing Riverdance.
No, I think you're Moya Doherty. Moya Brennan's from Clannad.
Sorry, yeah, I'm mixing them up. Moya Brennan from Clannad.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind her being there now.
Yeah, that makes a bit more sense. Patrick Bergen, you know, the Hollywood actor, he's there as well. Seemingly he's singing. I would have thought he would have just come out as his character from EastEnders. Hello, Pope Francis. just trying to do a drug deal with Pope Francis. Right. Okay, Michael, I'll have a whiskey. Then be like, oh shit, you're the Pope, is it? Sorry, wrong gig. So I don't know why he's there. Seemingly he's a singer or something.
Yeah, I looked up his music. He's got a song called The Tipperary Waltz. Mental.
Right.
Start to finish, mental. I don't know why he's playing, I'm going to be honest. Sorry, Patrick, if you're listening, but like your songs are insane.
Please don't turn into your character from EastEnders and come and kill me, please. Your sound. Yeah. We like you.
What do you think the Pope would like?
Who really cares? Who gives a shit? He's getting a fucking stack load of cash.
He's probably not.
He's definitely made. How much is it costing to bring the Pope? Some incredible figure of taxpayers' money.
Yeah, but
to bring
think
this fella here.
It doesn't go to the Pope's
lad,
pocket.
Listen. The Catholic Church aren't doing this for the goodness of their health. Let me tell you, someone's pockets are getting lined.
No, the tickets for it are free, I think. Or
Yeah. But there's a bit at the end. I went through it, so you can give a donation.
Yeah.
All the Catholics are going to be shamed into giving a donation now.
We'll pass the bucket around. Look at poor Francis. He's near an arse in his trousers. Trying a few pounds there. Get him home.
I want to know, does Pope Francis get a royalty check from all the lollipops going around with his face on it?
That's the thing.
I doubt it.
Maura, you were saying you seen an Irish flag during the week with the green, white and gold, and on the white part a picture of the Pope.
Yeah, with his hands up. It's like he's a geriatric soccer player.
Yeah. he just scored a hat-trick in a Catholics versus Protestants game. So, he's delighted with himself. Going around the place. A Galen Shearer.
Well, the Pope being from Argentina, he'd probably like a bit of tango.
Maybe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're throwing yourself in. To get Marty Morrissey up to dance for him, sure.
Yeah.
You don't know tango there.
Descal,
yeah.
A bit of Pope Malone. Oh, actually, genuine question. Who is emceeing it?
I don't know, actually.
Because it's very hard. There's a lot of details are fairly vague on the official site now.
Yeah.
Even start times now are like to be confirmed. Come on, lads.
Surely Father Brian Darcy, is it?
Oh no, he's, I don't know what the term is.
He's out with the old church.
But basically the Vatican told him, you can't be out talking about stuff. He got censured. And then he was like, that's grand. And then kind of kept talking about stuff. So
is that why he wasn't on the Late Late Show 9 times this year?
He was only on it twice, which you wished. He rates. And we love Father Brian Darcy, so quiet.
I'd say Ryan would probably love to host it, would he?
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know. I don't speak for Ryan Doherty, but sure, look at.
Could he sit him in behind the altar and he could do his little knee slap? And
he doesn't do that anymore. Watch the show carefully. He doesn't slap.
Okay, Gay Byrne.
Yeah, why not?
He's not in great health at the minute, but if he was, I'd love to see Gay Byrne, yeah.
Des Cahill would probably be a good host.
Yeah.
He would be very smooth.
But do you get like, can you get Joe Brolly and Tomás O'Shea onto review Mass?
Yeah. They'll analyse the Mass.
Do you know what? I thought the Pope lost his intensity towards the end of Mass there. I think we should go with the local approach, Johnny. Do you know who should host it?
Well,
Andy Maloney.
Yeah, local.
He's our local
councillor,
and Andy Maloney. And if we're not doing it, Andy will host anything in the town. The lovely girls competition. How are you, Paul Francis? You enjoying yourself? Yeah. Get one of the boys off Tip FM Radio, Fran Curry or something.
Maybe so. Get up and host it, yeah.
Pope Francis, I'm here live. I love all the lads on local radio. Like they're from out the road and they talk like they're from California.
We're going to have a sketch coming on that very soon. But Johnny, what's your views on the Pope coming anyway? Do you care?
Sure, not really.
I couldn't give a shit now. If he's out in the backyard, I'd draw the curtains. And that is a fact. I'd have no. That's not to say, like, you know, I don't have beliefs or anything like that, but it's just. It's so old. Like, you know, in the 80s, like, we'd fuck all else to do, so you go and see the Pope. Like, there's loads of stuff to do now.
I'm kind of interested in it because my aunts all went to see Pope John Paul II when he came back in the day, and they just said it was the most amazing experience ever. It's like my aunt was. She said she went to see him down in Galway. She was wearing clogs. apparently, because they were like actual clogs, they were a big thing back in 1979, and she said she'd blisters on her feet from all the clogs. But as soon as she seen the Pope coming in the helicopter, she forgot about the pain in her feet, and it was brilliant.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, you won't wear clogs to see him in the Phoenix Park, because there's a fair walk. I went to see Ed Sheeran in the Phoenix Park, and similar in likability, I suppose, Ed and the Pope, both loved in Ireland, but I walked almost 4 kilometres in the Phoenix Park. Now, if you think the demographic going to see the Pope in Phoenix Park, probably going to be a lot of older people.
Mm.
He'll want to be fair magic now to cure them, because there'll be some bunions on people's feet.
But he'll be doing the last rites.
Honestly. But seriously, I don't know how they expect people to walk that far to go and see him.
Yeah. It's possibly going to be very warm as well. So.
It says on the official website, your walk is a minimum of 4 kilometres and up to 7 kilometres. That's on the official Festival of Families website.
PopeParty.com.
So what else is going on there? He's going to Croke Park as well.
Well, yeah, that's where he's doing the concert in Croke Park, and then he's doing the mass in Phoenix Park
on the Saturday. I wonder, will Quinn's and the Big Tree be hopping?
Yeah, I don't think it'll quite be the match day experience. I mean, I can't believe how many people are going. Like, people don't go to mass here locally, like, and the church is probably around the corner from. But they'll all head up. It's typical an Irish thing, I think. Come on, we'll go to Dublin, see the Pope. Why? For the crack.
Yeah,
go for the crack, an old day out.
Yeah, 75 tickets and they're all gone for Croke Park.
75,000.
75,000.
Yeah.
Just, I have the Pope's itinerary here. I'll give it to you very quickly, lads, because I know you're all wanting to know. He's in Ireland for a total of 32 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so he goes to Áras an Uachtaráin to meet Michael D. That's his first stop. And then he goes to Dublin Castle. He's got a meeting there with the Civil Society and Diplomatic Corps in Dublin Castle, and he's going to give a speech. Then he's got Mass in St. Mary's Pro Cathedral. You don't want to miss that. And he's going to a daycare centre. It's for homeless. That's actually a nice gesture in fairness now. And he's going to be arriving in Croke Park at 7:30. Throwing is at 7:45 for the feast of families, and he's going to give a speech. Next morning then he flies to Knock, and he's going to Knock, and he's doing a mass in Knock, and everyone in Knock is delighted, I'd say, because the shine was starting to go off that place now. It's been at least 30 years since the miracle.
Haven't people been buying tickets for the event in Knock as a protest?
Some people kind of like they mass booked tickets, but I think they've figured out who those people are and they've rescinded those tickets, so it's not going
to
be.
There was a campaign, Nope to the Pope, and a lot of guys rang in Joe Duffy saying, yeah, I ordered 200 tickets online, got them, and I'm not going, as a protest.
Whoa.
Like, several guys rang in, so that's, you know, over 1,000 tickets. It's going to be that's for all the events now, Phoenix Park and Croke Park. So when he's done in Knock, he has lunch with the papal delegation. Now, I don't know who's in the papal delegation. That's kind of his own G unit. He's got his own hype men, Little John and Wayne and all those. And then Mass in the Phoenix Park at 3 o'clock on the Sunday. And he'll be gone out of Ireland at 6:45. Now, a 2-hour Mass in the Phoenix Park, that. If that didn't get you into heaven, I don't know what does.
I tell you one thing, that's torturous now in my eyes. But look, I don't know who'll have in doing the hymns. I'm sure people will enjoy it. For me personally, I think it's a waste of time. Don't see the attraction, but look, that's me. Irish people are different.
Well, young people, I think, are glad that they can get a few memes out of it.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like, there's some funny videos about Pope Fest going around. But I would like to see Jimmy Buckley there, in fairness. And to be fair, I think we should get Mickey Joe Hart.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be complete without Mark McCabe.
Maniac 2000.
Yeah, at the end of Mass. Get him going.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that kind of show. Somehow or another.
Phoenix Parklet. They normally have the Stone Roses and Ed Sheeran and all.
So is every child born in and around that weekend going to be called Francis?
I don't think so. I was saying to you before we start recording, I think people have gotten fierce notion-y about naming their children, and Francis isn't that cool of a name. Like, say for instance my name Maura, you don't hear many children being called Maura nowadays.
So. I seen one during the weekend, it was like, if a child is called Siobhan, they don't have a childhood, they're already studying in Trinity College or something. It's a great meme. So maybe Francis is the same.
Well, the demographic has changed. There was a big thing when people went to see the Pope in 79 that a lot of young people went, like my parents went and all. And then there was a lot of children conceived afterwards, and there was that book, The Pope's Children and all. Mm. But now, I don't think the demographic of people going to see the Pope now have the hip thrusts to create another baby boom. There's going to be a hip boom after this.
There'll be a load of plastic hips being transplanted now after this. Yeah, that's a fair point. I wouldn't say they have the old lead in the pencil no more, maybe.
Yeah.
So any other views on the Pope, John, before we close it up?
No, I mean, it's good exposure for Ireland. People all around the world, you know, will be looking at Ireland. The world's eye, in a way, will be on Ireland. The Pope is a headline name. He's a marquee name, lad.
I'd sooner have Beyonce, lad. To be honest, headlining something now.
Yeah, but I'd like to take the Pope around Ireland. Like, I don't think he's going to half enough spots.
Where would you bring him?
Well, if he came next weekend, the hurling semis are on.
Sure, he'd love that.
Yeah, him being from Argentina, obviously he'd be shouting for Galway, but still, it'd be a good weekend. Afterwards, you could take him down Camden Street, you know, meet all the Limerick boys.
Yeah.
Obviously, avoid Temple Bar.
It's
bad for tourists.
I mean, he's a seasoned traveller. He's not going to want to go into St. John de Gogarty and pay $7.50 for a pint. The pub's been around, man. Are you going to take him to Galway, Shop Street, Supermax in Air Square? He might like to go to the Giant's Causeway, get the Game of Thrones tour, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, take him to Father Ted's house.
Oh, you'd have to, yeah.
Yeah?
That's a disappointment, though. You can't go inside.
I know, but still, like, you'd probably want to see it.
Probably, yeah. I don't know if he'd be a fan of Father Ted.
Yeah, but loads of people have their pictures outside. Yeah, so that's
right. I have had it as well. Like, but yeah. Like, I thought you could go in, like, and it was exactly. No, it was a fucking TV studio. It was recorded in.
The Fly is going on in Innes.
Yeah, great night out there. The Pope would love that. The Fly.
He'd love that. The Galway Races is coming up. You know, he's going to Dublin and to Knock and back. Like, if you were telling somebody from Argentina, oh, you got to come to Ireland for a weekend, you wouldn't bring him to the Phoenix Park, Knock, and go home again.
Fair point. I don't know if he can gamble. Is that allowed? Yeah.
I don't think gambling is a sin per se. Probably, I don't know if he's a big fan of the GGs or not, but you know. Maybe, like, he's very busy. Jesus, how many, like, he's a geriatric, and look at how much he's packing in 32 hours.
Okay, well, we have a local holy, whatever you want to call it, shrine, only 100 yards up the road, Johnny. There's a well called Tobardisa, the Well of Jesus. And it's a bit run down now at the moment. There's nettles and all going in over the fence. So if the Pope was to come and bless it, start things up again, lad.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
He'd hardly kill the nettles. Get him in to do a bit of strimming, the fucker. That'd be more on his line. Mind blessing shit.
Yeah, well, this is a particular well now. You know this one, if you walk up and down 10 times and say their rosary's not, it cures all your warts.
I think everybody says that about every well in Ireland. So.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Could be a good tourist boom for Care. So, yeah.
Festival of families, though, as well. Like, who brings their family to a festival?
Hipsters to electric picnic.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you've ever heard.
There you go.
Not bringing my family to Aten ever again.
So that's basically our thoughts on the Pope. If you've got any thoughts on the Pope, or if you even care of the fact that the Pope's coming to Ireland, do get in contact with us on social media.
Yeah, if you are going to see him in the Phoenix Park, bring a stool.
Yeah.
It is all standing.
Or get a Segway.
So, but you're allowed to bring your own little fold-out stool.
Yeah, and if you want to make a bit of money, sell those foldable chairs up at Phoenix Park on the day.
That's what we might do.
Oh my God, it's a great idea.
Hats, flags, headbands and chairs. There you go, that's the Pope, he's coming. Right, this is your official warning. If you're in the gym, get off the treadmill. If you're out in the farm, switch off the tractor. It's time for the man who lays lads out like Rosa Turf. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Smooth as ever, Noel.
Don't you fucking start before me ever again. This segment begins with Well Young Fella.
Well, Noel.
How are you, lad?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
Not too bad. You were in Dublin during the week.
We were, yeah. Very busy week. Very, very busy.
You were at that concert, the Cartinas.
The Academic.
Is it?
Yeah, that's them, yeah.
Oh, no. What are they called? Or the Coronas.
Cartinas. Good man, Noel.
So, anyway, my top story this week. We're going to the home of well-dressed hard men. Now, it's not Jimmy Dial and the Sarsfield theme of the 60s. Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
And where are the Peaky Blinders from? Don't say Ross Grey.
Birmingham, yeah.
Birmingham, there you go. Couldn't get Maureen is going for the right answer now. So, now, there was a woman driving the car. And there's your first problem. Now, Carmel, like, she makes guns for Ireland, but I wouldn't let her drive the fucking wheelbarrow. So, this woman, anyway, she pulled into the driveway, and she was living in one of them housing estates. Now, thank God, I never had to live in one of them. I couldn't sleep without the sound of a field. It's unnatural. So, this is about 4 o'clock, English time. And I suppose she was going putting on the dinner or with the bacon or I don't know what to eat in England. But so these two bios attacked her and they took the car off her. Now, I know a woman shouldn't have been driving a big Audi anyway, but that's not the point. Took the car clean off her. And now you can't go around taking cars off women. No. Like, her husband's probably have to buy in that car now. So he'll be pure tick when he gets home. So they hopped into the car. Off they went down the road. Wasn't there a fucking child in the back of the car?
No.
Yeah, fact. So 45 minutes later, the call went out. The two bucks were after dropping the child off at a health centre. Now, every Wednesday night, I collect Dermot. And he says to the wife, we're going to the health centre. You know, men need to look after themselves, keep themselves ticking. Did you know we had a health centre in town?
I didn't actually know.
Yeah, well, it closed in 89. But there's a great game of 25 in the Shamrock. So I drop him home and he'd be falling up the driveway and Kathleen would be looking out the window and I'd say, he's not right after that yoga. And there'd be smidics coming out his fucking eyes. So the woman got her child back, safe and sound, still in the car seat. And she said, 'twas 45 minutes of hell. Like my first ride. But that's a story for another day. Okay, so she got the child back. Now, she got a bit of an injury, a bit of a knockout herself. They're pulling her out of the car. Obviously, she resisted. So she got a bit of a knock, but she's okay, and she got the child back. And no word of the car. I don't know whether I got the car back or what. So hopefully the husband is reunited with his car. So, my second gripe of the week. Footage has emerged of the loneliest man on earth. Not Pat Kenny. Lad in the Amazon jungle. Maureen, did you see how nervous he got when I said footage has emerged?
He started to sweat there. Yeah. Little beads of sweat.
You thought it was going to be you in the Shamrock Lounge last Sunday. Huh? Folks, egg, Teresa's twice her age. You should be ashamed. Well, I hope you wore a Jimmy cap. You'll pick up some sort of a dose. If you swim with enough sharks, you know, eventually one of them going to hit you. Now, not me. I would never, in any doubt. Sometimes I used to dip himself into a bucket of Dettol.
Jesus.
He clean as a whistle, Maureen. Oh. You could eat your dinner off my Mickey. So, anyway, this lad, the footage emerged of... He brought in, was it Brazil, in the Amazon. And he's in a part, he was part of a tribe that lived in Rodonia. And this place is totally wild, like this jungle now. There's no phones, no electricity. It's like the Brazilian Offaly. So this big agricultural company are coming in, they're cutting down all the trees, cutting down all the forests. And, well, isn't it gas that they call it a rainforest? Mm. Like, do you ever see a forest that didn't get rain?
There you go.
There you go. Ha! 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 So, the farmers saw this and said, just we'll cut down all the trees and we'll set grass. But the lads in the jungle were like, hey, buddy, I fucking live here. So a big fight broke out. And the whole tribe was killed. The whole tribe was killed by one lad. Now, he's been on his own in the jungle for 22 years.
Wow.
Now, like, we all like a bit of peace and quiet, but that's a bit fucking extreme now. You'd imagine he'd come out for another pint or something. I suppose it's hard to get a taxi back to the rainforest. They don't go up to Glenavarlo, never mind the fucking Amazon. So he's on this area and it's protected now. You're not allowed to cut trees or anything. And it's 4,000 hectares. And it's just set aside for the indigenous people. But the farmers keep coming in, cutting the trees. They're hungry fuckers out in that part of the world. Argentina, Brazil and all them boys. So the charities have filmed this man to prove that he still is alive, that he exists. Because if he's gone, the boys will plough the whole place down, I'd say. Okay. So, now his tribe, they've never had any contact with the outside world. Never. You know what I mean? You thought they were close-knit up on cameras. So nobody knows what language they used. He's been on his own for 22 years now. So unless he's talking to the trees, that language is gone. Which is sad now, in fairness. So, like, as I always say, the people off leash should be just left alone. Left alone. And we'll just keep an eye on him. It's a very sad story, I think. That man, he's on his own. Nobody's talking to him. He'd never fucking seen anyone. He saw a helicopter one day and he started firing arrows at it.
Jesus.
So nobody's ever spoken to this lad. Left him alone. He's walking around in the jungle there with a hatchet and an old bit of a few leaves over his...
genitalia.
Yeah, fair enough. So... now, my third story of the week. Children are the shower of bastards. Last Saturday, right? Last Saturday... I like Saturdays to myself and Sundays, but you know. I was at granddaughter's birthday. That'd be Tom's girl. Now, my son Tom, named after his mother, I mean uncle, he have a little girl, Roisin. And Roisin turned 8. Size of the fucking party. It was like a Wexford wedding. I swear to God. She's mad into it. So my job now, they said there's this film that she's always watching. What's that? The Princess Perished.
Oh, okay.
Frozen.
Frozen.
Little Ice Princess. And my job was to get the frozen balloons. Now, I went into Dolan's. Myself and Finbar went through every inch of the deep freeze. And there's no sign of the frozen balloons. I got her a pound of salmon instead. And I weren't too happy with it when I gave it to her. But like, if they can't take a joke, I don't know. So they had this magician going around. Now, I don't mean like DJ Carey with a ball. I mean a prick in a suit. And I mean full Nathan Carter job. So he's doing magic tricks, right? And he did one. He said, you give me a 50 euro note now and I'll make it disappear. I said, you should try being married. Carmel dubbed that every weekend. So the kids were fooling around and playing a game. A bit of a row broke out in the game. So they said, Noel, granddaddy Noel, will you come down and keep the peace, keep an eye on the young lads? So I said, I'll stand in. So, you know, Roisin wouldn't be great at the camogie now. But the oldest grandchild is actually not too bad. So it was myself and him against 12 8-year-old girls. 4-12 I got from midfield. So now, young Claire Donovan, she just after starting the camogie and she was soloing up the field in a straight line. Well, I blew her into the fucking bouncy castle. She had to learn. She had to learn. Too much catching going on. I mean, catching and hand passing and so on. Like 19 years, I hurled senior. Yeah, yeah. And I never caught a ball. Fucking drive it. So after the game was done and they were patching up all the kids, I was having the test going. And Cameron would normally be very good for test going. But she was away with the ICA during the week. So she had to make the scones on Thursday. They were like fucking stones by the weekend. I couldn't bite into it. You couldn't get into it, lad. It'd be easier to get into Beyonce's knickers now. So I was slipping the scones to Cornel. Cornel, of course, is...
Kearney's dog.
Kearney's dog, yeah. Now, all the kids love Cornel. Small dog with a big rod. He was able to crack the scone with his tool and ate away. See, Kearney brings the dog everywhere. he'd be going into the co-op and he'd have the dog in the passenger seat because the doors don't lock on the van. So the dog would do security. And you'd be thinking, would the dog bite you? Bite you? He'd fucking ride you. So he no locks in the doors. He brings Cornel. Now, if you don't know who Cornel is, you go back to me first ever news. Episode 1.
Find out who Cornel is.
Yeah. So the little dog does security. You all know the story about Cornel and the big bitches. Can't get the ride off. So Roisin came up to me and she said, Granddaddy Noel, Cornel has me slither. Will you get it back for me? I said, girl, that is the most sexually frustrated Jack Russell in the county. That slither is after getting some debt. You can forget about it. So a great day all round. You know, when Tommy was young, he'd get into a lot of trouble. Tommy would, a bad egg now, in fairness to him. Hanging around with a bad crowd. And I thought he was going down a bad road. But he got out of town. It was the best thing he ever did. He met the wife and she took him way out of town. And he'd do very well for himself.
Where did he move?
Bansha. 9 miles up the road. Fresh start. So that was the grandkids' birthday party.
Very good.
Shower of bastards. Laughing. She didn't eat the fucking salmon at all.
No.
Not. So back in my day, there was none of that. We had no football. You know, pig's bladder.
The 1900s and all, wasn't it?
Look, that's your smart talk, Alec. Okay.
Thank you, Noel.
They're giving rain. I'm away. Good luck.
That was an experience. That was an absolute experience. Once again, lads, that was Noel's news. And if you're wondering about Kearney's dog, of course, start listening to the start of the podcast and you'll find out all about Conal the dog. All right, it's time for Maura's mystery topic. It's the part of the week where we start to sweat. It's the segment of the podcast where our producer, Maura, can literally ask us anything and we have to fess up. Maura, what's your mystery topic this week? Lay it on us.
Okay, so I've kind of changed my topic this little kind of last minute because I decided actually I'm going to keep it for the live podcast. So
one must be a good one.
No, my topic this week is about where is best in Ireland to go out. Now, I know we kind of touched this with Hen and Stags, but I'm after having two excellent nights out in Cork. Just top quality people, top quality bars, top quality food, everything. I actually think Cork is the best place to go out in Ireland. And I think the worst places to go out in Ireland are Athlone and Monaghan. So I want to know, it's a tie, I couldn't pick one over the other now. They're both crap. So I'm going to be controversial here. Where is the best place to go out in Ireland for a sesh? And where is the worst?
Can I just ask you, briefly, what was the big problem with Athlone and Monaghan?
So Monaghan's easy because there's like one good bar in Monaghan and then there's just one nightclub. And
what's the good bar?
It's Squealing Pig.
Okay. Our listeners from Monaghan can get in the ring on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But and then you have a lot of rowdy lads from South Armagh coming in, or well, it'd be North Armagh, Middle Armagh, I suppose. Yeah, they're not much crack either. So, you
but
know.
Surely Athlone has one of the oldest pubs in Ireland, Sean's Bar. And it's a cool place for a pint, Mara.
Yeah, I've been out in Athlone a lot of times now and I find it's grand. My friend used to go to college there, so I would have been knocking around the gas.
Not very many good looking lads around Athlone.
Oh! Men in the Midlands, now is your time to respond. Mara has called you out. She says there's no good looking lads in Athlone. And they're not too far from Mullingar, like. And everyone in Mullingar is famous, so, I mean.
Yeah. Joe Dolan, Stunner.
Yeah.
Niall Horan.
Brezzy.
Yeah.
You know. Decademic.
Decademic. Connor Sketches.
Yeah. Handsome men, wall to wall talent.
Yeah, they must just kind of like, I don't know, migrate. If you get so, point to you're considered good looking, it's like, up to Mullingar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Johnny, our top place is, look, we spend a lot of time in Dublin.
Yeah, Dublin is a great spot. So many good pubs, obviously, good
variety
nightclubs.
Is a thing in Dublin. Yeah. You can get old man's pubs with a bit of character, you can get nightclubs,
fancy bars,
yeah,
gin bars.
Obviously, I don't go into the gym bars. Johnny snaps me from the gym bars.
It's good in here, lad.
It's busy every night of the week and yep. It's got variety.
Yeah.
Now, you will pay that bit more.
Yeah, you line your pockets going to Dublin. But it is definitely, it'd be in my top three along with Killarney. is a serious spot to go out, and I've been on loads of stags down there and just weekends in general. And like, Killarney's good. You can go there with your other half, you can go there with a group of lads, you can go there with a group of girls. It has everything. And when the weather's fine, especially, Killarney's a great spot.
When I was out in Cork, I met a woman who was on her hen. She was the bride, and they're out in Cork for the hen. I was like, "Where are you from?" She's like, "Killarney." I was like, "Well, why wouldn't you go out there locally?" And she's like, "I'm going out there tomorrow."
Yeah, you see, that's it. People know your business as well locally, especially on a hen or stag. I would advise get as far away as is humanly possible. But Killarney is definitely there for me, John.
Yeah, plenty of accommodation in Killarney too.
Mm. Yeah,
and if you felt like doing an activity, you could. If you were hungover and you wanted to go see something, you could.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're on a session,
yeah,
nobody wants to see that, and it's purely a sesh.
We have opposing views on Galway. I like it. You detest it.
No, the one time I went to Galway, five of us went up. One of the lads was going away to Australia, and we went up to Galway, and we stayed in a nice hotel. Got a taxi from the hotel into town. First bar we went into, 5:30 in the day. Mm-hmm. We hadn't even had a drink. Your man said, "No, not tonight, boys." We hadn't even had a drink in the first bar. And of course,
that bouncer must have just been having a bad day.
He owned
day,
the pub
though.
There wasn't even a bouncer, like, he was just a prick.
Okay.
And
but there's a lot of nice pubs in Galway. I do like Galway, and if I can get down for race week, I will be definitely, like, I won't go to the races, I'll just go out in town.
Well, if you own a pub in Galway, reach out.
Yeah, reach out, invite us up,
extend the olive branch.
Maybe
to
I might change my views on Galway, but as of yet they're all wearing yarn jumpers and talking shite.
There's music coming out of every crevice in Galway, lad.
Yeah, but you can't get in to fucking hear it. Jesus, I went into the King's Head and we were having a powerful night. And we should have stayed there. And then we said, "Oh, we'll have to go somewhere else. Can't just go to one pub in Galway."
Yeah.
And of course, we left in, couldn't get fucking in anywhere else.
What did you do? Went home?
I went back to, got a big Supermax, went back to the hotel, yeah.
Negative waves, man.
Negative waves. So, Galway, let's try and change this view.
Yeah. It is fun going to Supermax after a night out in Galway and just watch it. It's like, you know, being in a nature documentary. Yeah. You're seeing this wildlife happening.
If you
around
want a burger
you.
And a slap, that's the place to go. Galway, I'll give you another chance. Mm-hmm. As regards other places to go, Cork is good.
Yeah.
Cork. Limerick doesn't get enough credit. Good spot.
Dicon.
Yeah, but like, even Nancy Blake's, and you've got some good pubs down there.
Flannery's.
Yeah. So Limerick's good for a night out as well, in my opinion. But I still think Dublin and Killarney lead the way for me. My two favourites.
So I'm going to have to agree. I wouldn't be...
Well, do you have any places, Johnny B, that you don't like going out in? That if I said, "Right, we're going out in this place," you'd be like, "No, I'm not going."
I'm actually not big on Cork.
What?
Yeah, like, we used to play there a lot in the band years ago, and I just felt all the bouncers were real strict in around town. Mm. Like, if, you know, I want to see lads up on the table with their tops off singing Mr. Brightside. And that won't happen in Cork City.
Mm.
There is nowhere in Cork City that happens.
There's a lot of places that won't happen, I'd say. Things are quite strict now in nightclubs. I suppose they probably have to be.
Not even nightclubs, bars. Like.
Bars, yeah.
Well, I'll give two more honourable mentions to places that are good to go out in. Dundalk is a good town, actually, if you can understand people and their accents. And Navan, actually, is quite a good spot as well.
Again, if you can understand the accents.
The Navan accent is not that bad.
Yeah, you see, we don't really venture up that far, you see, is the thing. Unless
he's not living life, lads.
Oh, nobody in Tipperary is at home going, "Do you know what I'll do now?
I'll go to Navan.
No, we've had great nights out in Kilkenny and in Wexford.
Yeah.
Great spots.
Two good spots as well, yeah. Forgot that. Kilkenny's a great spot.
Mm.
Bouncers can be questionable at times as well, but maybe I just have that head.
You do, lad. Let's be honest about it now.
It's probably what it is, that...
You need to smile more.
Yeah, maybe so. It's a stress all the time. It's eating away.
Alright, lads, well, snap us in. A lot of people say Tralee too.
Tralee. Sure, look, we're down there for a show. We might sample it.
Yeah.
Lads, get in the ring here. Contact us on Snapchat, Instagram, any other form of social media. We're actually doing a bit on Twitter now.
We're doing a bit on Twitter lately. Yeah, we've made a bit of a bust on Twitter.
Yeah, so you'll find us. Just get in touch. Let us know where is the best spot to go out in Ireland. That's Maura's mystery topic. Maura, thank you. Enlightening the public of Ireland as per usual.
Okay, the public have demanded it, so we're going to supply it. That is Johnny Smax's Love Island Roundup. Smax, what's been happening?
Big week in the villa this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Or is it all just a load of shite?
No, it's to be honest, it's starting to taper down a bit now because we're getting towards the end. There's only 1 week left. And
is there?
Yeah, and everyone's been nice, and we're all in a couple, and we all fucking love each other, and you know, they're all friends. So, but I'll give you what's happening though. A couple of bombshells this week. Started off right with an eviction last Monday, Sunday or Monday night, right?
So what, the council came round and
the council came round. Yeah, the council came in and kicked them all out of the villa. So get out, lads. We must put in new windows. And the central heating isn't connected to the back boiler, so we have to. But George and Sam, right? So they thought they were going to be evicted, but they were given a choice.
Who, Sam is a fella now?
Sam's a fella, yeah. Sam Bird.
Okay. His name.
So George and Sam were coupled up, and they were told, you either leave the villa now as a couple, or you split up and go back to the villa as singles. And there was two new girls and two new boys coming in.
Aye, aye.
So George and Sam had spent 2 or 3 days beforehand saying, oh, we feelings for each other, we're falling for each other, we're, you know, I can't wait to see him on the outside. But then when they were given the chance to leave together, oh, no. They split up and went back as singles. So they dated the two new girls and the two new boys. And we thought, as I predicted, Georgia would pie Sam in last week's, but she didn't, because she's loyal, as she says herself, although she kissed some of her best friend's fella. But listen, I'm not one to judge. But what happened in the end was Georgia and Sam would not recouple with anyone else, so they were forced to leave the villa together a few days later. So George and Sam are gone.
Someone said to me they went at it in the jacks.
They were shifting is all now.
Ah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, honest God, hey, listen, I'd bring the smut, man. If there was smut to be brought, I'd bring it. Also, we've seen this week the arrival, so as I was saying, two new girls, two new boys. One of the boys, known as Cool Paul, he's been known as now in the villa, right? He's fair good looking.
Did he give himself that nickname?
No, the other lads in the villa gave him that.
Okay.
No, he's very cool, lads. Looking into his eyes, I swear to God, like, the Beatles starts playing when you look in his eyes. And he's a former model, and he's got a claim to fame.
Oh, he was the lad in the Britney Spears
video. He was in a video with Britney Spears, and he played her lover. So they're shifting in the video and dry humping the whole shebang.
Which video?
Oh, I looked it up. It's not a well-known song. I looked it up on YouTube anyway, and it is him in the video. And he looks unreal in it. And
so he got to shift Britney Spears.
So he shifted Britney Spears, and she was on top of him, and they were dry humping the whole lot, right? Which is gas, like, you know, because when he's gone into the villa, now he's coupled up with Laura. They're both blonde, they're both haggard from the sunbed, and they both had fuckloads of surgery. So, Paul, you know, he's got a type anyway, for sure. So he's going well now. Him and Laura are coupled up. And the big news this week was everybody in Britain thought Donald Trump was the most hated man after his visit this week. They're wrong. Dr. Alex.
Yeah, what went wrong?
He fucked it all up this week, so he did. So he pied Alexandra. So Alex Squared was no longer. Aww. That's what they're going as now. Alex Squared. Alex and Alexandra.
What do you mean he pied her? He gave her
the elbow. Like, he told her, see, the two new girls came in, turned his head.
Aww.
He jumped the gun. See, you know, he got the flex on. And he thought, oh yeah, I get one of these new birds. Now, it wasn't to be. Seemingly the women in the villa aren't into Conor McManus lookalikes. Have you seen the resemblance? Shocking, isn't it?
That's a Monaghan corner forward, yeah. Conor McManus.
Great footballer.
And then the thing is, he realised the new girls weren't interested in him, right?
Oh.
So Danny and Jack got him to do a bit of role play with Alexandra. So he went over as if he never met her before, and had done a bit of role play, ended up shifting. So they're back on track. And the big news is, Alex and Alexandra have joined the Do-Bit Society. For those of you who forgot what that is, that's when you do an old bit with a, you know, yeah, exactly, with a hanky-panky. So, seemingly, Alexandra touched his flex, touched the doctor's stethoscope during the week, and good reports, all's well down there.
How long are they in there?
Oh, they're in there with 5-6 weeks now at this stage.
Yeah, I think the programme lasts 2 months in total.
Is there any bit of privacy?
They'll show you without showing you kind of what's going on, if you get me, like.
Yeah, but
they're not going to show you going hell for a letter now.
But Dr. Alex, like, must be fair sexually frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
All them decent looking young ones walking around in bikinis.
I'd say there must be an old wanking boot or something. Is there somewhere?
Yeah, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah, yeah, like. I'd say there has to be, yeah, maybe.
Dr. Alex can't get to sleep at night. Big tent pitched in the bed.
But of course, coming up this week, this is the best week, I think, in Love Island, because you've got the baby challenge coming up this week. So they give them fake babies, and they've got to mind them for 48 hours. And the babies cry, they need to be fed and all this. So little fake babies, that's coming up this week. We've also got the lie detector coming up in tomorrow night's episode.
What's that?
So each couple takes lie detectors. And, you know, they ask them questions about the other half. And it normally creates loads of controversy. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night. And, of course, the parents' visit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was on the internet this morning trawling Twitter, and I seen a photo of Danny Dyer in the airport going through security. So he's on his way to the villa. I cannot wait to see that, you fucking mug. I'm looking forward to that. And of course, for those of you who are thinking, what am I going to do? It's over in a week's time. Never fear. The Aussie Love Island is coming to Tree.
Are you going to watch it?
I don't know. I can't commit probably. But I'm sure I probably will watch it. But I'll watch it in my own time. I won't rush into it.
So now that Love Island is about to end, will you go back hurling training with us? You're the only man. We'd be down training and he'd be like, Paddy, what time is it? It's 8:45. Why, Johnny? No, I just have something on there at home and I need to go.
I must go there at 9:00. And like, I'd openly admit, I want to go home and watch Love Island.
And he doesn't want to watch it an hour later when he gets home.
No, because I'll see it on Instagram. So that's my Love Island roundup this week. Big week ahead in the villa. Loads of controversy and loads of crap.
And who are you predicting to win again?
Jack and Danny are going to win. I can't see any of the other couples splitting up this week. I don't think there'll be any new arrivals. My insider has told me that, you know. She also works for Heat Magazine, so... Get all the scoops. Nah, I'm only joking. I'm making that up.
Who have you been DMing, Johnny?
I'm making that up purely. But yeah, big week coming up. Jack and Danny are going to win. Topic number 3. How GAA grounds are managed. What a week it's been for the GAA. First, a couple of weeks ago, there was Newbridge or Nowhere controversy. Now there's a row over where the Liam Miller testimonial match should be played. So we're going to take a look at how GAA grounds are managed, ask why these disputes have happened, and we'll also give our views on how the GAA can improve their... PR, I suppose, and match day experience. Johnny B, what a mental week. If you've been living under a rock, I mean, even people living under a rock would have heard about the Liam Miller saga that's going on during the week.
Yeah, look.
Crazily handled.
Former Republic of Ireland soccer player sadly passed away. He lost his battle with cancer. So a request went in from the fundraising group to play the match in Parkyqueeve in Cork. It holds 45,000 people as opposed to the current soccer venue Turner's Cross, which only holds 7,000 people. So the game is scheduled for September 25th, the day before our live podcast. They just want to get it. They don't want to clash with that. So the likes of Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, Damien Duffer, all set to get involved. So, look, the whole country is hoping this can be played in Parkyqueeve.
Yeah.
One thing... I am confident that the right thing will be done. Mm-hmm. I have faith in the GAA. And on that, I just want to say something about the avalanche of abuse aimed at the GAA on social media this week, especially Twitter. I saw hundreds of tweets of people calling the GAA money-grabbing bastards, bigots, racists, Stone Age, shower bastards.
Dinosaurs.
But please be more specific in your criticism, because the GAA, well, me and Johnny are on a GAA committee, we're members of a club. We're the GAA.
Yeah.
The hundreds of thousands of people who play or volunteer are the GAA. So please talk about GAA top brass. Talk, if you're going to insult the GAA,
yeah.
There's a rule there that says it can't be played in any, like, field sports can't be played in any ground outside Croke Park. Unless passed by Congress. Congress is not until February. Mm. That is the rule.
Yeah.
So they're going to find a way around it. The punishment for breaking the rule is at the GAA's discretion. So they just let it go ahead, yeah. And then don't give any punishment.
Yeah.
This is probably what's going to happen. Really, we can't speak too soon. We can't tell you. It's definitely going to happen. But if it does go ahead, I wonder, will all those people on Twitter take back what they said?
Yeah, I think the big problem this week was the GAA's approach, and it is their approach to a lot of things, is we'll say nothing for a couple of days,
yeah,
and let it fester, let it develop.
Like, we'll let everybody on Twitter go mental.
Yeah, so like if they had come out straight away and said, well, we weren't approached by the fundraising committee or whatever, or we have been approached, we're going to have a meeting with them, hopefully we can resolve this situation.
Yeah.
If they came out and said that straight away, I think, you know, you wouldn't have seen the big spike against them and stuff. But still at the same time, rules are rules. And I mean, if you're going to be breaking rules that have to be passed to Congress, are you setting a precedent for, like...
You are.
Yeah, all rules can be broken now as such. You know, there's ways around everything. But at the same time, in these circumstances, I think the game has to go ahead in Parkyqueeve. But I'm sure the GAA know that as well, and I'm sure they'll do everything they can to make that happen. But, like, the thing of not saying anything and not coming out and say, like... That has to be sorted out. I think straight away they should have been out released a decent statement rather than 4 days later. And the statement they released didn't really cover him in glory either. So, but hopefully, as Johnny said, the right outcome can come from this.
Yeah, but they got to speak sooner because everybody was saying on Twitter, like, oh, the Cork County Board seemed like they're in favour. But there was no official
statement
there either. So it's only hearsay.
But the avalanche of abuse they've got is incredible. And especially a lot from soccer fans.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I seen one great tweet that said, well, you know, the soccer fans are tearing into the GAA. I mean, do they not have to look at the FAI and the fact that Turner's Cross only holds 7,000? You know, and they've got loads of money. They got 5 million off Sepp Blatter there as a backhander. Could they not have invested that into Turner's Cross? Maybe made it a bigger capacity, stuff like that. And I think the soccer crowd forget, you know, when the Aviva was being done up, the GAA happily let them into Croke Park as well, you know.
It was passed the Congress.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be nailing them. But I think people are frustrated seeing the fact that Ed Sheeran and, you know, the fellas on in Semple Stadium and loads of acts have played Croke Park. I think that was people's point was, oh, they can let rock stars in there.
And the Pope.
And the Pope is in Croke Park.
Yeah, but mass is technically not a field sport.
Yes, yes. Nor is Ed Sheeran, so.
Nor is the boxing matches that go on.
Yeah, so I guess, look, the GAA, I'm sure, will rectify this. I hope so. At the moment that this is going to go out, this podcast, we still don't know if it's been resolved or not. But all we do know is that there's a meeting, so I'm sure that the right outcome will
come. And all the members of the GAA are ground. This has huge ground support.
Yeah, massive, yeah. Like, we're the same. It should go ahead in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. We're behind that 100%.
Yeah, I think it's a very fair point, though, you make that, because the amount of abuse given out by people who are not GAA people and they don't really understand how the organisation works, and they don't understand how protective the GAA is of its brand on, you know, maintaining the sports values. And I think, just have a bit of patience, people, you know?
Yeah. Bear with the old guy, I'd say, on this one, yeah?
Yeah, it's not for another 2 months.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, just to touch on the Newbridge or Nowhere thing, I mean, there's not much to be made of this at this point. The rules are there. Kildare were first out of hat. They had home advantage. Never mind the sponsors. Never mind the business people who should have got tickets. Give the fucking fans the tickets, I'd be saying.
If you have a problem with Newbridge as a home venue, then you just do what they do in the Premiership. You don't get home games unless you've got 20,000-seater stadium.
Yeah. And I think another thing is the GAA probably have to look at upgrading facilities. I mean, there is a big difference in stadiums. You've got Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah, no, this is where I disagree.
Okay, go on.
I don't think there's any point spending 10 million on Newbridge.
Maybe so, yeah.
Build 10 all-weather pitches around Kildare.
That's a fair point, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we've touched on that before.
Like Kildare, the Kildare-Galway game was a Newbridge. Some atmosphere.
Yeah.
One of the best games of the season.
Yeah.
That would have been lost in Croke Park. Now there's probably fans who could not get in. There was lads building scaffolding behind the town end goal to watch the game. And you can be sure there was 20,000 Mayo fans who would have loved to have gone to that game and couldn't go. But still.
Yeah.
I think it's very important, though, to a county to have their own county grounds.
It's a luxury GAA can't afford.
But I think there's a case for certain, have a municipal county ground so that, like, somewhere, you know, where soccer matches could be played as well. Other field sports could be played, because there is the odd occasion, like the Liam Miller testimonial, where you need a big venue. And I think maybe, particularly if, say, the likes of Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Páirc Uí Chaoimh got €30 million in funding, and it was part of the stipulation of funding, the same that would be made available to other sports.
Yeah, personally, I am in favour of opening up GAA grounds to other sports.
Me too.
I think you just rent it out.
Yeah, there has to be an application process as such. You know, you apply for something to take part in one of the GAA grounds, and it either gets the green light or gets the red light, one way or the other. But I mean,
you have to have an application. I don't mean that, like, we're going to rent it to play seven aside.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, a lot of GAA clubs around the country, and it's really come to light this week for the week that's in it, are quite happily renting their grounds. You know, so if your GAA club has a big AstroTurf pitch, odds are there's probably two or three soccer clubs using that to train on as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, rightly so, they're quite happy, make the money, pay for the AstroTurf pitch that you've got installed. So definitely an application process, and I wouldn't be against other field sports taking place in there as such. I mean, if they can have American football in Croke Park.
Yeah.
That's dirt.
Yeah, you know, and let's face it, it's just not that enjoyable.
On a couple of episodes back, you had a go at basketball, Johnny.
Did I?
You had a pop at basketball. You said basketball was shite. I had a couple of lads on defending basketball, and me too. I enjoy a game of basketball.
We'll go and shoot some hoops off with them lads.
Yep.
I played basketball in school, boy. Unreal.
Gale talk basketball. Can I talk about the way GAA grounds are managed on match day?
Yes. Go on.
If you go to a rugby game in Thomond Park. Mm-hmm. One word, Maura. Razzmatazz. There's fireworks. You know, Thunderstruck is banging out through the tunes. They're getting the crowd pumped up. Every seat will have a little red Munster flag given out for free. The colour and the noise at a Munster home game is bitching. If you go to a league game in Thurles, there's no warm-up act. Mm-hmm. They're playing a bit of Kamali music, a bit of diddly eye through a bad tannoy. And the game kicks in. You need a bit of crack. You need to get the crowd pumped. Because a hurling game is a much better live spectacle than a rugby game. Rugby is fantastic on TV. You can get into the scrums. You can see the hits. If you're 80 yards away from a scrum, she don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah, it's just lads piling on top of each other. I actually fundamentally disagree with you. I don't like the pageantry. I think that's an American import and they can feck off with their fireworks. Like I was at, was it the Aussie Rules match in Crow Park where Brush Shields was warming up the crowd and he was getting them to do American waves and I was like, I could do without this now. Brush Shields is a fantastic person, but I'm here to see lads knock seven, say, you know, lumps out.
Yeah, I'd be against the razzmatazz as well. I just think, I like the tradition of the GA, some fella just calling the teams out over the tannoy. Yeah. From Ballybacon Grange, yeah, Brendan Cummins. Like, just stick with tradition. I think our games are good enough that they don't need the razzmatazz, you know.
I'm agreeing with you that the GA is a better live spectacle than rugby.
Yeah, but what, you want to see fireworks before they play Cork or something?
Yeah.
Wait till the ball's thrown in, you'll see the fucking fireworks. That's what I'd be thinking.
It just would get the crowd going.
I don't know, like, you see, at halftime in the All-Ireland Final, they normally have a music act. You know, someone comes out and sings the song. That's probably grand on All-Ireland Final Day. Again, you could do without it. What I do think is a good move from the GAA is when you win the All-Ireland.
Right.
As soon as the final whistle is blown, your song comes on or whatever. So I think Sleeve Them On came on for tip.
Not always straight away. Sometimes they play like, is it Simply the Best or We Are
like
Champions
that.
Or something.
And they release a few
streamers
and stuff like that.
Party poppers.
Party poppers as such, but on a big scale. Okay. But I think that's a good touch. But before the game, I'd be against it.
I've got a gripe with the GA because in 2010 I had a song out and I sent it in to him. I was on to him.
Sure, in 2016 it was the same. We had the song out as well.
And then when they won, they didn't play our song.
Yeah.
So now I have a personal vendetta over that song.
Yeah, but on razzmatazz before, I don't think there's really a need. I don't think...
There's no need, but it would be. But I think they should try it. Like in Semple Stadium.
Maybe for a league game.
It's a slippery slope. Next thing, maybe cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And,
hey. That'd be all right.
No, it wouldn't.
I'm offering now. Next time Tip are playing in Semple, I'll go out and sing. Smax might come with me. He'll probably... No, he's not doing it. Okay, I'll
the face is saying no.
I don't know.
I'll go before the game and I'll, you know...
Do it at Irish soccer games as well.
Sing, forget about singing. Go ahead and cheerlead. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Good hustle. Yeah. Give me a tea.
They have a guy who sings before all the Irish soccer games up in the Aviva.
What does he sing?
Sings like Molly Malone, a few other old classics there, and tries to get the crowd going and stuff.
Does it work?
Not particularly for me anyway. It's not to my liking. Like, seriously, Johnny, if you were down in front of the hill now with your guitar there singing, like, there'd be fellas just going, what the fuck is this? What's going on here, like? This isn't really the GA as such. I'd be thinking anyway, but I'm a traditionalist.
Depends on what I was singing.
It's a long way to Tipperary down there with your guitar.
That's an English song. Of course I wouldn't be singing that. I'm telling you now, when Festy Corwick, 2010.
Yeah, he's a player.
Yeah, and he sang the Geltie Mountain Bike.
Yeah, that was class.
And Marty Morrissey, who I love, commentated all over it. I only heard that afterwards because obviously we were at the game.
Yeah.
And anyone at home was trying to watch a moment there. He was only a sub, like, but he's a good player from Kilnall, singing the Galtee Mountain Boy. Marty was talking all over him.
That works because he's a player, I think. I'd be very, very traditional. Hey, I'd bring back the denim shorts if I could. the old hard shorts by up around the arse by, bring them back by big jerseys, the whole lot.
Okay, half time, primary game.
Yeah.
We're all in favour of that?
Oh, 100%. That's brilliant.
You mean the little children coming out playing their games? Yeah. I love that. I think that's
brilliant.
It's such a big occasion for them as well. So.
And what I love is when they're coming off the field, all the crowd stand up then and clap them off. Yeah. Like, that's a proper tradition. I'd definitely be in favour of keeping that.
At the 2010 All-Ireland Under-21 Hurling Final, it was in Semple Stadium and Tip had won the senior final a week before. So at half time, there was some charity crossbar challenge involving some of the Tipp senior players and a few more Kilkenny hurlers. That was right crack.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see a League of Their Own lads coming out at half time to do something on the field at the Kilkenny Wexford League game. So
yeah, but it would be an opportunity for fundraising at half time if there was like a sponsored skills challenge at half time with a couple of celebs or something. Half time in the game.
Maybe something like that.
Or a bit of freestyle hurling. Something a bit different. You know these lads here, you see these lads on YouTube doing like freestyle soccer and all. There's boys that do freestyle hurling. No, they deserve an old mention too. Samba hurling.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Google it.
I'll Google it. 100%.
Freestyle hurling. Boys doing tricks with a slitter.
Anything else you want to change on the match day experience as such?
Fan zone a little bit.
Okay, go on.
We had talks with Semba Stadium about this. Like in the grounds, the atmosphere. I mean, you're not in the seated area.
Mm.
But if you're in Croker or in Semple or any of the grounds, like you're under the stand and there's not much crack.
Mm.
They need a bit of a fan zone, stuff going on, like skills for the kids.
Yeah,
you know, big screens showing stuff, a bar, maybe tunes. Not to the American extreme.
Okay.
But a good fan zone outside the ground and possibly inside the ground, but not in the stand. Because at Croke Park, where's everyone before the game?
During the pubs. Yeah, but like, a lot of people will probably argue that is the fan zone.
Yeah, but that should be moved up closer to the grounds where it's more family friendly.
Yeah, would the pubs freak out?
Yeah, but sure, would you bring your kids into a pub for the All-Ireland final?
Yeah.
Packet of crisps and a bottle of Lucozade.
It's exactly what they'd be getting.
Sidona.
Yeah, let them in there, soak up the atmosphere. I can remember as a young lad being to Munster final.
Never done me any harm.
Yeah, but no, like I have been in there and stuff like. I'm sure even out, like you look at the Big Tree. We all seem to go for an old pint there before a match.
Well, that's the Tipp pub, yeah.
Yeah, and like you'd all be out the back. There's loads of kids there running around, not a bother on them. Listening to a bit of music and getting an education.
They've started doing a fan zone at Croke Park now on the there near the Croke Park Hotel, and it's good, but I think they could up it a gear.
Grant.
Get a big crowd in.
If you're listening, lads, you know what to do. You know what to do.
Can I throw something in as well?
Go on.
I forgot to put it on the running order. We got a. Somebody mentioned that we should talk about pitch invasions.
Yeah.
So the GAA is completely kind of clamped down on that now. So I'm wondering, what's your thoughts? Should they be allowed?
It's a tough one. Like as Johnny mentioned, there's loads of kids go to GAA games, and the pitch invasion, it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Like you look at Pat Fox scored a goal there back in the day, and a few fans ran onto the field, and Pat knocks one down with a celebration. So it can be dangerous at times. I mean, some of the pitch invasions are done nicely, you know, they trickle on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if your team hasn't won in All Ireland in 20 years and you win, you're not going to be thinking, "Oh, I better mind myself now when I'm invading the pitch for fear I'd bang into someone." You'd be going hell for leather. You'd be you'd run through a brick wall like.
Am I right in saying that the only places that don't allow pitch invasions are Croke Park and Páirc Uíomh?
I think you probably would be, yeah, because it's like the reason they don't allow pitch invasions is that they want to maintain the grass and that. But I just remembered that pitch invasions were a big part of my childhood, because whenever we got tickets for the Cusack stand, my dad would not walk, after the match was over, he would not walk back around the Cusack stand and around that way. He'd cut across Croke Park.
He wasn't celebrating, he was just lazy.
Yeah. And I remember it was me, my brother, my dad one time, and Daddy's right, come on, cross the field. And that was grand. They got past the security. I was 10 years old at the time. I got clotheslined by security. My dad just shouted back, "Would you come on, Maura?" So I had to wrestle the Griffin security. Like, my dad's over there, let me go.
That was back when Meath were actually winning games.
Listen, Meath minor champions, yeah. Leinster champions. So
we'll touch on them. Pitch invasions, Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, pitch invasions in our home ground of Semple Stadium. Of course, I think every game should be played in Semple Stadium.
It's not Johnny being biased at all.
Yeah, so it's wonderful. League games, you know, football games, hurling games, where it isn't too mental. You stroll out onto the field there with the kids and you meet all the players. That's a big reason the kids go to games.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that now, from us having the hurley workshop, kids come in, "Can you fix my hurley?" And the thing is wrecked, but it has Paddy Maher's signature, so they want it.
Yeah.
It's a big part of why kids go to games, is to get out on the pitch and meet players.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely allow it in league, like, you know, league games and stuff like that when there's not a major crowd. But like, I can see the GAA's point on an All-Ireland final But like then again, yeah, it is pure magic if you're uplifting the trophy and they're all on the field.
Yeah. A lot of GAA players say though that like when a pitch invasion happens, that like you'd get more belts during the pitch invasion than you would actually during the match. Like lads, people coming over slapping you.
Lads
in the back.
Full of porter jumping up in their back.
Yeah, well, players tell us that people try and take stuff off them.
Yeah.
What?
Give us your jersey. Give us your socks. Give us your hurley.
I used to play in goal, underage and stuff like that. Like, and as soon as the final whistle went, like, you'd have a load of young lads around, like, trying to rob the slitters out of the net. Like, yeah, give me that ball there. Give me. You'd be, the first thing you do, final whistle by, is tighten up the bag with the slitters and run. Get out of there.
Speaking of stuff gone missing, we were at a pitch invasion, tip one a game, a couple of years, that's a long time ago now, and our mate, who will remain nameless, hopped out of the terrace, ran into the pitch invasion. Do you know about outside the goal, there's those big woolly microphones for outside?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big
yeah.
dead cat on them, the grey yeah. microphones. That's inside in the wardrobe behind you, Mara.
Who does that belong to?
RTE, I suppose.
And another one.
Well, he was at pitch invasion, so he just picked up the big microphone and stand and ran out to the field.
Another great memento to get from pitch invasions, which a couple of my friends have got over the years, is linesman's flags or flags, you know, the green and white, the umpire's flags or... Mm. The flags along the sideline, yeah. They were a good one to get if you got out there quick enough. So I've been part of pitch invasions before, yeah. Ran in, jumping around the place. Munster finals in Limerick and stuff, we were on
the
pitch.
There was a Munster final down in the old Parky Queeve, and I think Paul Curran was lifting the trophy for Tip. And there's a spot, if you go right at the front, you can't really hear the speech. The speakers were pointing back. So I was up the front with all the Ross Grey boys, and they, of course, were singing their famous chant, "The Ross Grey boys are... on the piss again." And Paul Curran was looking down at us, and he knew me, and he was pointing at me as if to say, "Shut the fuck up, trying to make a speech."
Johnny in the middle of a pie like a 17-year-old.
I was like, "I'm not singing, Paul. I'm not singing."
So on the pitch invasions, mixed review. I suppose I can see the safety concerns, but I can see the magic and enjoyment on grown men's faces invading the pitch as well. So it's, and I wonder, has anyone ever been seriously hurt in a pitch invasion? Not that I've heard of. So
I've never heard of anyone.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it'd just be like, oh, just let them on. Like, if it means a lot, like you.
Yeah, it's annoying that we've never got to invade the pitch from Tip 1 in All Ireland, because in 2001, Tip were presented with the trophy on the field.
We
won the next. And like then in the following years, people invaded the pitches. It was up in the stand. And of course, we won it again in 2010. And that was the first year that pitch invasions were banned.
The big glass was up behind the goal.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So we've never got to invade a pitch after an All-Ireland. So Jesus, GA, just let us just once, will you?
You should just run, you know, rugby tackle security guard and get out in the pitch.
Get the head absolutely slapped off you then, I'd say, by some fella. So yeah, look, that's our touching on how the GA can maybe manage the match day experience a little bit better.
Two questions for you there, so lads, get in touch. Pitch invasions in Croker,
yes or no?
Yes or no. And razzmatazz around the game, yes or no? And I mentioned to that poor Clare fan who got hauled off the field in Parky Queeve. Did you see that?
I've seen
a picture of him getting dragged off the field.
He was an old boy and he invaded the pitch in Parky Queeve.
Oh.
Jesse, he was definitely 70, was he?
Security had him by pinned up. No one invades the pitch in Parky Queeve.
Well, I thought they were a bit strong with him, no, to be honest.
I'm not commenting on that.
He looks like a bit of a lunatic. But still, like, he's a guy, man.
He's a guy, man. So get in touch. Don't forget Snapchat, Instagram, at Johnny Smacks, at Johnny B Tipman. You'll get us on board. And have your say on razzmatazz and pitch invasions. Okay, it's time for Yurt and Dirt of the Week. This is where the two Johnnies each give our highlight and lowlight of the week. I'm going to kick us off, and I'm going to kick us off with a Dirt of the Week, which is Conor McGregor's father. I don't know if you've seen the video. He is a prime prick in my eyes now, and that's quite putting it quite nicely. He is sitting in his backyard with earphones in, making a video. He went on the dart and he put in a crisp €20 note, as he says himself, and he said he was given back €17.30 in coinage. And he wears a hand-fitted Hugo Boss handmade suit, and he has no time or no space for change. He actually says this in the video.
Lad, but it is annoying when you get all those coins. It is annoying. Parking meters
are
the same.
A Leap card.
Yeah. Can the man just not, like, he could have paid for it on his debit card. I'm sure he fucking has one.
Yeah, well, he's from Dublin. He should have no excuse. But when we're up from the country,
yeah,
and you buy a train ticket.
But we don't mind coins that much. We pay for that in coins.
I know, but it is.
I paid for a car in coins once.
That's like 8 €2 coins, whatever, in your pocket. Yeah. That's annoying now.
It is annoying, but you can still have a Leap card. And Leap card, I think, actually works on Bus Aaron as well now. So,
well, somebody has started a GoFundMe, a Kickstarter to get him a Leap card.
Have they? Yeah. Ah, brilliant, brilliant. I love the Irish humour. Yeah. Yeah, so he's my dirt of the week. If you get a chance, lads, you'll see the video. It's going to be all over the place on Twitter and Facebook. Look at it. Oh, my God, make you sick.
My dirt of the week, we're back onto it again. Johnny wants to catch every one of them and shoot him. Cyclists.
That's not a direct quote, by the way.
We got a lot of snaps in this week. There was something going on in the Greenway in Waterford. And the cyclists were 3 abreast on the road. Mm-hmm. And not on the multi-million euro cycle path that is the Greenway. I'm in favour of cycling. I don't own a bike. That's just out of pure maintenance now. It's not. I do like cycling. And it's very important, good for the environment, good for your mental and physical health. But the Greenway is there, lads. Please use it. And we had several incidents with cyclists wearing headphones and cycling 2 abreast.
Yeah, a fella cycling in front of me in Dublin the weekend, he had a big pair of Beats on him. Mm. And he on the middle of the road, cycling slow as a snail, and I behind him. And he didn't even know I was behind him.
Yeah.
No excuse, right, cyclists?
Can I just say in the cyclist defense?
No, you can't. go on.
Just sometimes, particularly the cycle paths in Dublin, there are terribly badly surfaced. So I have a racer bike and like really thin wheels. So every little bump you hit, it's, you know, not good. So it's just easier to cycle on the road because the road's smoother.
Do you know what else would be easier? Driving. Now.
Oh, excuse me for trying to save the environment.
What's the environment?
You can't all drive around Dublin.
I know, I understand that. So Dublin County Council, if you're listening, City Council, sort out the paths for Mara, lads, and her racer bike, right? Okay, my yurt of the week, got two. One is I went to the academic gig in the Ivy Gardens, and we know the lads, they're sound blokes, and it was an absolutely class show and a class venue. My first time in the Ivy Gardens, what a venue. Perfect, great size, great view of the stage from everywhere, good food, no queues. No queues for the toilets, no queues for a bar, perfect.
Wow.
And my second yurt is the Care Miners, who won the South A football final yesterday in Clonmel, and it ended in 18-year wait.
For
our club, and they won it yesterday, and there was a young boy who would have been on the panel, but he's recently had an operation, and he would have been on that panel yesterday, and the boys didn't lift the cup when they won. They waited for him to be brought in, and he lifted the cup, and I just thought it was a class touch and great to be involved in the club. A proud club man yesterday, John, both of us.
Well, my man in the match is our mate. We call him the Bonner.
The Bonner Magner, boy.
I'd say there's more football in that cup of tea, but he's got some heart. And he came on off the bench. And
changed the game.
Oh, he changed the game. He broke lads up. He was brilliant. So I heard it, probably Langer's last night now, or whatever. But the Miners, you shouldn't be drinking, lads. You have a county semi-final against Galtee, so.
But yeah, they're our yurt of the week.
Well, my yurt of the week is one from Aura, that the Leinster Minor Football Final was won by a team who is not Dublin. Dublin, will you stop winning?
Yeah.
So Meath finally won it.
Yeah, so they're your yurt of the week.
Yeah, they needed it.
Yeah.
Leinster football needed Dublin to get bet.
I say the whole of Leinster was going for me.
I'm currently wearing a Dublin jersey. My mother is from Dublin. My cousins are from Dublin. They've won enough though.
Can I just say the Meath Miners next match is in Armagh this Saturday at 3 o'clock. So everybody from Meath and Furderfield, get out and support them.
Go on, Mara. Yeah. Right, lads, that's it for this week. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Mara.
We'll be back.
Yeah, any topic suggestions, anything you want us to row about, snap us in. Johnny B. Tipman, Johnny Smacks, we're the same on Instagram.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good luck.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.